It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplexes and at the art house.
Warehouse, farmhouse, hen house, outhouse, or doghouse in that area.
You'll also hear about new and old films on Blu-ray and on DVD. Plus, you'll hear all the latest Hollywood gossip.
I don't care!
Okay, maybe not the latter, but it is time for Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Shizzy!
No, that's Matthew Sosi.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever, yes.
Let's see how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Sosi.
Hello there, boppers and film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. Also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Sosi. The show is available as a podcast. It's also available on iTunes. And we have a blog, which we'll someday update at
filmsociology.tumblr.com.
The voice you just heard, Kobe Slagle.
Yep.
Are your Thanksgiving plans prepped up
and set? Yeah, I think so.
Cool. And we already talked about next week's show. Next week's show is the Thanksgiving Leftover Spectacular with a myriad of guests. And speaking of a myriad of guests, we're full. We have a full house today. Not a crappy sitcom, but we have a full house nonetheless. Oh, I'm sorry. Do we have a Defender in here?
I grew up on Full
House.
Well, I'm sorry about your generation.
Well, it's all right. We're doing okay.
We?
The generation.
The royal we.
Yes, we're doing all right. Thank you.
Okay, very
Man.
Good. That's right. We have folks from Comedy Sports hanging out because there is plenty to do in this in our fair city. So you should go, and if you don't have plans tonight and you don't want to go to a movie, you should go to Comedy Sports. So that's all there is to it. So, gang, if you could verbally sign in because there's three of you, and I just got off my other shift. So
hi.
Hi.
Hi, Matt. Yep. Ashley Hammond.
Yes, you.
Here
with I know who
Sports.
You are.
Hi, everyone listening. Who doesn't know who I am?
Why do I have to introduce myself? You know who
this
I am.
So
it's the radio.
This is uncomfortable.
Hi, my name's Claire Wilcher. I also play at Comedy Sports and various other stages.
And former Road Warrioress.
Former Road Warrioress, that's right. I was just on the road for 4 months.
Yes, you
representing
were.
Comedy Sports.
Exactly.
Cool. Living in an RV. I've got the tattoo to prove it.
That's later. Much, much, much later.
My name is Daryl Hollenquist Jr. I'm also seen at Comedy Sports and, like Claire said, various stages. So, yes.
Should bring that mic down a little closer to you.
Oh, definitely.
Okay. Thank you.
Is that better?
That's a little better. Thank you.
Get that good deep voice in there.
Yeah, sorry.
Deep voice.
That's not a movie we're talking about. Okay. Opening in theaters. So, yeah, we are in the midst of what we like to call grown-up movie season.
Except for Hunger Games!
Except for Hunger Games and Seth Rogen's latest epic.
Oh, yeah. That's this weekend?
Yes, that is this weekend. Because you have to have a Christmas movie before Thanksgiving opens. It's like commercialism. So
I'm kind of in love with Seth Rogen, though.
Yeah.
A little bit. I have a big crush on Seth Rogen.
That's fine, but what's that one Seth Rogen movie where he's a man-child who has to grow up?
All
most of them.
Of them? Yeah.
Most. I'll say
okay,
most.
Okay, most. Fair.
You know, he wasn't Steve Jobs, so.
Oh, yeah.
But we don't know because Universal pulled it because of poor sales. So
oh,
I blame all of you that. For not
Bring
seeing Steve
back
Jobs.
Seth, yeah.
Oh, no, we can't have him serious. Let's throw him in a wacky holiday adventure. More people will see. And if this thing makes more money than Steve Jobs, that's.
Oh.
It could happen.
It could happen.
It probably will happen.
Mm-hmm. Shut up. Then again, it's all, yeah, it is also opening the same weekend as Mockingjay, so all are doomed, I think, when it comes to
yeah.
big numbers. Anyway, that is opening the night before, of course. Secret in Their Eyes, an American remake of a non-American film with Nicole Kidman, Chiwetel Ejiofor, and Julia Roberts. And Trumbo, Bryan Cranston playing the famous Dalton Trumbo, the screenwriter who was blacklisted. Not screened for press, but it doesn't mean it's bad. We just didn't get one, and I'm going to see it tomorrow. So very excited about that. I think Cranston got the big money for Godzilla so he could do this one, and it balances out his rent.
Boy,
so
I hope so.
And I'm very excited. No, and I loved him. I enjoyed the actors in Godzilla because everybody involved, Juliette Binoche and he and David Strathairn, they all knew exactly what they were working with. And it set the right tone. So it was not the 90s version of Godzilla. So things were better about
it. I love that. They bring a gravitas to it.
They do. You have Juliette Binoche and him, and they're just sweating it. They're just working hard. Yeah, they are working hard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But then you never see that ginormous dinosaur come out of you don't. It's dark the whole time.
Is it a dinosaur?
Yeah,
it
say that's Jurassic World, dear.
I'm going to ask some people. No, do you know what I mean?
Yes, I know.
He's a giant.
And also in Godzilla, Bryce Dallas Howard running in heels.
Yep. And Chris Pratt.
Running in heels.
Godzilla World.
That's right. Again, you wouldn't change if you wouldn't change the name after all the bad publicity with said product in the past.
Yeah.
No, just kind of Dino just, World. No.
Just put it up there.
Let's put it up there.
See what happens. See if it sticks.
Exactly. All right. Opening in theaters that I did see, I want to really highlight. And Kobe, can you pull audio for the trailer for this?
Uh-huh.
Spotlight. This is the film from Tom McCarthy, who gave us, of course, Station Agent and The Visitor, and quite possibly the best ensemble of the year. Michael Keaton, John Slattery, Mark Ruffalo, Elizabeth Banks, Rachel McAdams. I'm a terrible old person. And it's a group of reporters from the Boston Globe who are doing an investigative piece on priests in Boston and beyond. And not so nice things that certain priests, not all priests, have done to a lot of young men and young women. Here's the audio.
I know there's things you cannot tell me. But I also know there's a story here, and I think everybody will hear about it.
Do you think your paper has the resources to take that on?
I do. Do you?
The Boston priests molested kids in 6 different parishes over the last 30 years. The church found out about it and did nothing. We haven't committed any long-term investigative resources to the case.
No, we haven't.
And that's the kind of thing your team would do.
Spotlight? Guys, listen. Everybody's going to be interested in this.
Obviously, the church will fight us very hard.
Trying to get some background information.
I don't want you recording this in any way, shape, or form. Nothing.
We understand you've settled several cases against the church.
I can't discuss that.
There aren't any records of any of these settlements.
Nope.
When you're a poor kid from a poor family, and when a priest pays attention to you, it's a big deal. How do you say no to God?
Spotlight.
Is this the tip line?
You think he's got something?
I want to keep digging.
We need to focus on the institution. Show me that it came from the top down.
They'll try to silence anyone who speaks out.
You leave me alone, you hear me, goddammit?
6% act out sexually.
6% is 90.
90 priests.
If there were 90 of these bastards, people would know.
Maybe they do.
You're going to give me the names and the names of their victims.
Are you threatening me?
I was doing my job.
Yeah, you and everyone else.
I am here because I care. We're going to tell this story. We're going to tell it right.
I'm hoping we can keep this between us until we all get on the same page.
Is that why we're here, to get on the same page? We've got two stories here. A story about degenerate clergy, and a story about a bunch of lawyers turning child abuse into a cottage industry. Which story do you want us to write? Because we're writing one of them.
I'm not crazy.
They control everything.
This is not just Boston. It's a whole country. It's a whole world.
They knew, and they let it happen. It could have been you. It could have been me. It could have been any of us.
Okay, also in there, as you heard, some Liev Schreiber, everyone's current favorite voiceover, documentary voiceover guy, and Stanley Tucci, whose hair isn't as silly as it is in Hunger Games, but he actually has more to do and more screen time in this than he does in Mockingjay Part 2. So there you go.
So this weekend is a Stanley Tucci double feature.
It can be if you want it to be.
It should be. That guy is a gem.
Yes, he is.
And I love Stanley Tucci.
And as noted by here on this very show, by a former film sociology guest, Padma Lakshmi, Stanley Tucci can cook his face off.
Oh. I'm not.
It all comes back to who I've talked to, isn't it, Kobe?
In the one-upsmanship aisle, everyone, Matthew Sosa.
Yes, I had 5 glorious minutes talking to Padma. No, Ashley, I did not pass out. I actually maintained order until.
That's surprising, actually.
After the interview, that's another story. So anyway, but yeah, she said of the people who in Hollywood that can actually cook, Tucci's at the top of the list.
You know what? That really? Doesn't surprise me.
Not at all.
I feel like he's just a Renaissance man.
No,
he is.
I think everything he did in Julie and Julia was probably mostly his work.
Yeah, and the
everything that was laid out on the table. Food. Stanley's like, I got this turkey. Don't worry about it.
I think Meryl wants a word with you. Just a little.
That's fine. She can call me anytime. I'd happily talk to her.
I'd like to see that.
It'd be so great.
Okay. So
big
anyway.
Men in suits talking movie. This
that is a genre that my daughter Emma has brought up. It could be. Here's the other thing. The trailer is much more heavy-handed than the film itself. The film is a really, really subtle ensemble piece about the daily grind of journalism. Hmm. Chris Lloyd, our sometimes guest and sometimes substitute host here at Film Sociology, and the Film Me Up, has said not only is it the best film about journalism since All the President's Men, he thinks it's better than All the President's Men.
Mm.
And this requires me... Well, then again, we all wish all newspaper reporters looked like Robert Redford in the mid-70s.
Right. They don't?
No, honey. Oh. Well, present company excluded, but... No, so and it's going to make me go and rewatch All the President's Men, which is not bad. You should watch that at least once a year. But this is truly an ensemble piece, even with heavy hitters like Keaton and Ruffalo. Everybody plays. If you've seen films about journalism, you've seen the characters: managing editor, the reporter, the other reporter, the female reporter.
Why with that tone?
Because you know what?
Uh-oh.
She is. All right, I'll tell you why.
The female reporter.
No, I didn't mean that, but the fact is there has to be one in the group, and she is not plucky. She is not she's not Jennifer Jason Leigh in the Hudsucker Proxy, mm-hmm. a Muncie girl. So and of course you have the person that does not want to help the oppressed, and that's oily Billy Crudup in this one.
Mm-hmm.
And eccentric Stanley Tucci, who's trying to help out, but he doesn't want to go on the record. It is truly an ensemble piece because there are some heated scenes between Ruffalo and Keaton, but nobody takes over. It's not Jordan, you know, before they started winning titles, where one actor would score 50 points and then the rest would score about 5 or 6. I mix sports with my arts. You know, everybody, you know what they do, Pacobe? Everyone passes the ball 4 times before shooting. That's what this film does.
What is our film show consensus on Mark Ruffalo? Do we like Mark Ruffalo?
I love Mark Ruffalo. Yeah,
Mark
big
Ruffalo.
Time.
I like
Not
it.
In the same category as Christoph Waltz, naturally, but
well, no, I
but
think
we do like Mark Ruffalo.
For different reasons. Okay. Could Mark Ruffalo pull off Blofeld Inspector? No. But Ruffalo's had a really... Let's put it this way. I enjoyed Mark Ruffalo in 13 going on 30.
Me too.
I agree 100%.
And I have no business watching that film whatsoever.
Do not.
See,
but
exactly.
You do have a daughter who probably would not have watched that film.
Probably not. I'll have to check with her. Because that's the thing now. Yeah, she's 14, so I just go up to her and I will throw a title at her, and she'll either go, yeah, or, Yeah, she sounds like not quite Tina Belcher, but we'll get there. No, it's not that. Yo, we did a double feature a couple nights ago when all the Socies were under one roof, which is always a cause of celebration. We watched Noah Baumbach's Mistress America and then Me and Earl and the Dying Girl. So those seem to be
mm-hmm.
more up her
yeah.
alley.
Yeah.
Okay. Perks of Being a Wallflower. Those pictures as opposed to Jennifer Garner acting like a 12-year-old, which really has some weird implications, and we're not going to get into those.
It's strange.
Hi, Ben. Anyway, back to this film, which is really good. There was something about making this is a film kind of like a David Fincher movie, although less of a taskmaster, mm-hmm. where procedure is fascinating. I think my favorite David Fincher film is still Zodiac, also with Mark Ruffalo. And showing the daily grind of getting the job done is really exciting, done by this film.
So who would be the protagonist of this film, having seen it? I mean, is there one?
The staff of the Boston Globe.
Okay.
So
there's if we're talking like Oscar noms, it's all going to be supporting.
If there, you know what, it reminded me, you mentioned that, I think of the ensemble from The Big Chill,
mm-hmm.
and the fact that you had great performances across the board, but somehow Glenn Close got a supporting actress nomination. Now, Glenn Close, of course, joked that the only reason why she got nominated for that is because she cried in the shower naked. Just like, and then 2 years later for The Natural, she goes, "I got a nomination for standing up."
Yep.
And wearing a
halo
hat.
She didn't do a lot in The Natural.
No, she just had to look angelic and inspire Robert Redford.
Indeed.
Which we all should.
Yes.
So I don't know if that. I'm really hoping at least a screenplay. This is a guy, of course, who gave us Win-Win, Station Agent, The Visit. The Visitor, I should say. Even he survived working with Adam Sandler in The Cobbler. So I have to give Tom McCarthy all the credit for that. But I'm really, really hoping people will go out and see this. It's almost a docudrama as opposed to an overbearing piece of wrought drama. As somebody who has a journalism degree, it really captures the nuts and bolts of trying to get the story.
Well,
so very much enjoyed that.
Didn't the Boston Globe win a Pulitzer for this? They're all coming out.
Yeah, and so they talk about it. It's even bigger than what they originally anticipated. The ensemble Spotlight is kind of an investigative offshoot of the Boston Globe. And there is a really stunning moment at the end where they list all the towns that, after Boston, the similar stories came up, including the place we're living in right now.
Hmm.
So, there is that.
Let's feel
Go
good.
Go check that out. Oh. So, with that in mind, moving on.
Yeah?
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays, everybody. Well, it is grown-up movie season, so
it
you couldn't release Spotlight in the summer on 3,000 screens. Nobody would go see it.
That's true.
Kobe, do you have your Archer audio set up?
Yeah. Thanks for the lead in there.
Not a problem. There are certain films that I know that Kobe's beautiful wife and beautiful mother-in-law would love to see. Kobe, not so much. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk about Brooklyn. This is the film starring Saoirse Ronan as well as Julie Walters. Kobe, it's about an Irish immigrant.
Okay.
And she goes to live in New York City in the 1950s.
Nope.
It's a period piece.
It's a period piece.
I love period pieces. They're my favorite
in
thing
the 19
ever.
What decade did you
the
say?
1950.
Nope.
Okay. And she meets a young Italian boy and they start to have feelings for each other.
Classic.
No? Not getting a third one? Okay, fine.
He's walked out of the room.
Did you say I love feelings just now?
I love feelings.
They're pretty great. I love talking about feelings.
Make me so happy, my feelings right now, being here right now. It's beautiful.
I think we have audio for the end of the year show, Cope.
Mm-hmm. I love being here.
She plays a young lady who goes from Ireland to Brooklyn and is sponsored by a priest. Everyone's favorite cinematic priest, Jim Broadbent.
I adore him.
Always nice to see Jim in a solid supporting role of just lending support. And even better, her she lives in a boarding house with other young single ladies. The landlady, yes, Julie Walters, a.k.a. Mrs. Weasley, ladies and gentlemen.
It's also an art film.
It is an art film, but it's going to get a wider release. So actually, proper use of Joe Scheer there, Kobe. This is a film, yes, it screams date film, Kobe. However, this is something that is not sappy. It is something you don't need to feed to diabetics when they go into shock. It is a wonderfully understated piece of melodrama. Chris Lloyd and I were sitting next to each other, and he compared it to the Douglas Sirk melodramas of the 1950s. Really, Saoirse Ronan, of course, we've known since Atonement, and has done everything from Hannah to the Grand Budapest Hotel, and she really carries it well.
Yeah.
I mean, she's I think early 20s, so she's got a long career ahead of her, and this is a really, really nice starring vehicle for her. So, guys, if you have to get dragged to something, Cobe, you could do a lot worse, and you'll survive this, and then next time it'll be your turn.
Mm. except it most likely won't be.
We're also trying to get his lovely wife to watch Jackie Brown, but that's another time. Well, that's every other episode on the show, but we'll work on that. So anyway, I think this is, yes, this is, we try to get quotes for the ad campaign. This is the date movie of the season.
Go
check
that out.
It's not described like a date movie. Like when you tell me the premise of it, it's not something that I feel would be this kind of
But it's her sense of discovery, and then her, they don't want to get too far into it, but sure. You know, she starts to fall for somebody not on the other side of the tracks, but somebody who's unlike her.
Okay.
And then a family incident causes her to go back to Ireland, and it seems like she might be a better fit for one of the local Irish guys who has grown up and matured. So there's a little will she or won't she.
Okay. So when you say date movie, your criteria is kind of like something that the woman would like to go to bring the man.
Right.
Gotcha.
I'd love to think of Jackie Brown as a date movie. Absolutely.
This is probably a little more my style. I mean, I wouldn't say...
Jackie Brown or Brooklyn?
No, Jackie Brown would probably
That's why
be
we
more
adore
my
you, dear.
Style. Yeah. I think I have a different idea of what date movie might be.
Oh, I know. But we bust chops pleasantly on certain members of the film sociology family. Mm-hmm. You call her Mrs. Slagle.
Yep.
So, anyway, I think you could do a lot worse. You know, this is not a Nicholas Sparks sap fest.
Oof.
You see.
Man.
A lot of soft focus photography and shots of the Carolina coast.
And someone dies.
And a sailboat.
Well, somebody does die in Brooklyn, but that's neither here
Everybody
nor there.
Everybody dies in Brooklyn every day.
And a tree grows in Brooklyn.
There's
that.
And a tree.
Okay. So
that was a good movie.
Yeah, it was. It was. So, all right. Also opening in theaters, apparently there's either been a major name change in Hollywood, or she's just getting a different credit for the Directors Guild. But the new film directed by Angelina Jolie Pitt.
Yes.
She's suffering from Courtney Cox disease, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
This is a film called By the Sea. It's with her and her husband, Brad, who also both of them produced this. They both star in it. And, of course, she wrote and directed it.
Did she do the lights as well?
Yeah,
or?
She did all the lighting.
There is one thing that she does in the film that she has not been able to do for any other director. Guys, you're welcome. But this is set in, Kobe, it's set in the south of France in the early 1970s.
Nope.
70s? Not even 70s, Kobe? I mean, you know, 70s are a little bit groovy.
Oh, no. Kobe likes to has a nice couple of words to say about the 1970s. It was
a different time.
That's his way of saying the movies were slower back then.
Okay. Different time.
However, this is early 70s, coastal resort in France. Pitt is a writer trying to bang out his latest project. Angelina Jolie is the wife who was a former dancer, and the marriage isn't going well. So they go to
with those
a,
professions. How going. Could it?
And they go to a beautiful hotel, and there is newlyweds next door, including Marie Laurette, for you fans of Inglourious Basterds. And the film, yes, the term vanity project is already being tossed around with this picture.
Yeah, it
of course,
like
I gave you all the credits.
Right.
You know, nine people, nine jobs done by two people.
Right.
But. And it's also funny, at the very beginning, you kind of sets the tone. You get the old 70s Universal logo. This is a film that wants to be a 70s kind of slow-paced character study. And watching it, it made me feel like if Richard Burton and Elizabeth Taylor, they could have done this 45 years ago, except they neither wrote nor direct. So they didn't.
Well, maybe these two don't either. Or they
well, and I think part of the reason why this got made is because Jolie's last film as a director, Unbroken, got a little more success than anticipated.
Mm-hmm.
It's about 45 minutes too long. This thing clocks in at about 2:10,
mm-hmm.
and Kobe, it is a film with a 70s feel, which is of course from a different time.
Mm-hmm.
I think you could type,
yeah.
It's not from the 70s. It's just set in the 70s, but I think you could just tighten it up.
Probably Brad Pitt has a mustache.
He does have a mustache.
Yeah.
He does.
A sideburn,
some
probably.
Some chops going on.
Not quite that bad.
Aww.
But, you know,
butterfly collars.
Great costumes across the board. But we find out as time goes on, of course, the marriage is in trouble. And then you get little flash moments, not necessarily flashbacks, but almost subliminal advertising moments that, you know, in a film like this about a couple whose marriage is in trouble, you will get to the big fight. Capital T, capital B, capital F, and then you'll get to the big reveal. Capital T, capital B, capital R.
Okay.
Now, much to their credit, the big fight is underplayed. So it is not Richard Burton and Elizabeth Taylor. And the big reveal, you can get that within the first 10 minutes. So the question is, do you enjoy the ride with the rest of the 2 hours watching these two?
Mm.
And to borrow a line from Chris Lloyd, it's not hella bad. So, I mean, it's...
Yeah, it's not hella bad.
It's not. It's okay. It just needs to be tighter.
Yeah. But they can't kill their darlings, you know, if they're in it and they made it and they wrote it and they
and
created
produced
it
and
everything.
All that. Yes, and they're members of the PGA, of course.
That's, I mean, their kids
why
probably
can't
shot
we just
the thing.
See them do cool stuff all the time. I'm in a movie. I have a limited amount of time. Be cool.
Yes. So
yeah,
should have been tighter. But I don't think it's as god awful as a lot of people say. Chris Lloyd is already defending this. I bash Chris because I adore him. Every year there's one film that the members of the IFJA and others, the doughy white guys with glasses, Indiana Film Journalists mm-hmm. Association, but there's always one film that one critic will defend and everybody in the group will make fun of for liking. And I think Chris's contribution this year is By the Sea. I didn't think it was a complete nutter train wreck. I just thought it could have been tighter and shorter and slightly a shorter Vanity Project would have been nice.
Yeah.
So. Oh yeah, Mockingjay opened. All right, let's take a break. No. now, Cobe, you've read all these.
Read them, seen them.
Okay, and we have, like an old person muttering to the damn kids on his lawn. I have muttered to no end about my one book, one film rule. I don't mm-hmm. care. You know, I'm looking at Harry Potter. I'm mm-hmm. looking at Twilight. Mm-hmm.
The Hobbit.
Yeah, yeah. Hobbit.
Ooh, they made three.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they did. So, again, and also on the flip side, I understand Lionsgate's not going to listen to me, and Jennifer Lawrence can tell me to shut up, and I'd actually pay for that probably.
hey!
But you could have made a three-hour Mockingjay slam bang fest, and I think the fan base
much like you could have done with Harry Potter 7 Part 1 and 2.
Thank you. Yeah. Yes, and made a three-hour Hobbit film mm-hmm. if you must.
Agreed. Yeah.
Not right. three of them.
Not, yeah,
but you could have done that, and I think the fan base would have come out for it. They have attention spans, uh-huh. and I know we make fun of young kids and their attention spans or lack of, but this could have been their big sweeping epic. Instead, we get it split into two, and this one is 2 hours and 10 minutes, and the tone of it reminds me of the kids in the dorm at the Ball State University when they were playing Dungeons and Dragons and rolling the 27 die, 16, go 5 blocks. Mm-hmm. Roll 6, fight scene. six, walk 8 blocks, mm-hmm. fight scene, 2 seconds with President Snow, 3 minutes with Julianne Moore, more shooting, 5 blocks, end of film.
It's interesting that you say that because the book is actually written quite similarly mm-hmm. to that feel.
Great.
Especially the final book.
Yeah.
I've read them all, too, and seen them all. I like YA stuff a lot, so it appeals to me. The book is actually written kind of like that. It's very kind of little
traveling.
Vignettes. Yeah.
Mutant creature.
Yeah.
Traveling.
Yeah.
Fight. Traveling.
It
someone
feels like
dies.
It does feel board game-ish.
Recycled shots of Philip Seymour Hoffman.
And they, yes. And they do that, too. I mean, they that is kind of how they walk themselves through the end, because it is basically a fight to get to the middle, to get to the capital, the center of the labyrinth, whatever you want to call it.
Right. Well, and because it split, they couldn't get there fast enough for my taste.
Yeah.
And then because when you get there, you get more screen time with Donald Sutherland, which is always a good
thing.
Always
lovely.
And you know, underutilized in other pictures. I mean, he gets to choose some quite nicely in this. Would have loved some more. But yeah, it's over. Can we move on to another trilogy? Oh, right. Star Wars.
Hey!
Yay!
So here, the problem is, of course, well, one, I'm not 7 anymore. But two, there have been so many of these, I'm worried that I'm trying not to go into a mindset of, well, it's just another trilogy I'm watching. Sad but true.
Did you feel that same way about James Bond?
That's not a trilogy. That's just an ongoing series.
But there's a bunch of them, though. There's like
yes,
there's only 6
yes,
Star
there
Wars.
And there's yes, and there's only but and how many Han Solos have there been?
Oh, there's one. That's true.
Right. So they are able to find a way of recasting, restaging, reutilizing other words that start with re.
Mm-hmm.
I have no problem with that. Of course, I'm also of a different age. I mean, I grew up watching Bond. For most of my life, but yeah, there and of course, and it's an excuse for guys to say have the response of, well, it's different.
right.
Which is wonderfully vague, and I don't feel like arguing with you about that.
Are we talking about Star Wars or Mockingjay?
Yes.
Okay.
Or James Bond.
Or James Bond.
So, no, I enjoy, but I understand what you're saying, but I think because they are able to redo the franchise, getting different actors in.
Then that's exhausting for me, like every time you make.
Well, nobody's asking you to watch 21 James Bond films in a row.
Who wouldn't, though? I mean, who
would? I would not.
You wouldn't?
21 James Bond movies in a row? No, thanks.
Okay, I was slightly exaggerating.
20 James Bond.
No.
Five?
I mean, I've
okay,
seen
Claire,
a few.
How many Bond films could you watch in one sitting? This might be a fundraising event.
Oh, God.
Like 20 minutes of Goldfinger.
Yeah, like maybe two, maybe three. In a one sitting, like with, like I have dinner and stuff and have a snack later.
No,
am
we're
going to
put you
pajamas?
In a Clockwork Orange eye clamps. And make, yes, of course.
In my pajamas, do I get wine?
Yes, you get wine.
I get then I'll watch half and fall asleep.
Wow.
I'm just kidding. I like Bond movies, but I have to be in the right mindset and the mood for it. Now, Daniel Craig will make it happen.
Do you have to be drinking Heineken?
Yeah. Does it sound familiar?
Yep.
Do I sound like your wife?
Yeah.
Oh no.
Why don't we watch Jackie Brown? No, I gotta be in the mood for that kind of movie.
So what are you gonna watch instead? Do we have a list of what you've watched instead?
Oh man,
is it the
we
notebook?
Can talk about. Well, we can talk about that later, though.
Okay, we'll talk about that later. Very good.
We got some other stuff going on around town.
Oh, isn't he smooth? Watch. Yeah. All right, yes, Kobe. What is happening at your alma mater
tonight?
At IU Cinema.
At IU Cinema, November 20th at 7 p.m. Taxi. Documentary drama from this year.
Not the god-awful Jimmy Fallon, Queen Latifah picture. No.
And then tomorrow, the 21st, also from this year, at 3 o'clock, The Forbidden Room, a comedy drama.
Not to be confused with Room.
Or
with
The
Allison
Room.
Brie, or The Room, right. Correct.
And then looking ahead, 2 weeks, Monday, November 30th, President's Choice!
Gotta get him on the show. He's got great taste.
Matt, you're going to guess. You get one guess.
Oh, God.
A 1987 drama.
I'll be you. Nope. The Last Emperor.
Oh, and he got it.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
Wow.
Best Picture winner.
Yes,
Last
it was.
Emperor, directed by the great Bernardo Bertolucci. And Peter O'Toole is in that, as well as John Lone. I remember seeing that in the theater. I was the youngest person by a good 30 years.
Yeah.
There was that and Amadeus. So I'm like, I'm the only kid here.
That's awesome.
Wow.
Yep.
So that's
Last Emperor is President's Choice.
Good.
Monday, November
30th. Well, of course he can. He's president of IU.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's cool. At the IMA tomorrow, today and tomorrow.
Yes.
20th and 21st, a date that has been circled on my calendar for some time, the Internet Cat Video Festival.
I heard it was sold out.
Is it really?
I heard it was sold out.
Uh-oh.
I was kind of sad.
Cope, you might have to play the film sociology card.
I bought all the tickets, so no one can enjoy it.
Cat
she has half a bottle of wine and half a Bond movie. It's all the scenes, and basically,
in cat tickets.
It's all the scenes of Blofeld holding the cat. That's all.
Cat Video Festival screening with special guest Lil Bub.
Oh God,
I love
is that a
Lil
rapper?
Bub.
God, can't take
is
it.
A rapper?
I can't be in this room right now. You can't stand cat videos.
Oh, you know what? You know what you hate the most is that one cat that goes, yas.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Oh, you hate the word yas. She hates when people say yes,
yas.
Not yas. She drives her nuts. There's a cat that they just make this cat do. It's not the cat really saying it. They dub the cat. But
that's probably
really
not
going to
be at the festival tomorrow.
Probably not.
No.
Probably
not.
We're
but
still
if
working
you
can on...
get Lil Bub to say yeah.
Yeah, he also has the clean for radio broadcast album.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, no one's answered. Is Lil Bub a rapper?
It's a cat.
It sounds like a cat.
And he's got this cute little smushed face, and he just kind of has this little expression, and he got really famous because of his facial expression.
Doesn't his tongue stick out?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All the time.
All the time.
I'll find him on Instagram.
He's
I got him right here.
All screenings and both meet and greets with Lil Bub are sold out.
Wow. Whew.
I've never understood a meet and greet like that.
With a cat?
It's not like the cat knows that it's really excited about meeting people.
Grumpy Cat says, shut up, my check's clear.
No. I did that years ago. I went and saw Acro Cats. They were currently on Stephen Colbert this past
I've
week.
I've heard of Acro Cats.
And I went and saw Acro Cats, and I got my photo taken by the cat who was the drummer, and I was really excited.
How much did that cost?
I don't know. It was at the Indie Fringe building.
Nice.
And it was wonderful.
Cool. See, there you go.
Cats will do almost anything for treats if they feel like
and
it.
And so will artists.
People.
Yes.
And so will people.
So that's happening over at the IMA. And do we still have drive-in activities?
Yes, we do.
It's chilly, and we still have drive-ins. That's
at
great.
At the Skyline in Shelbyville, 6:45 tonight and tomorrow, we have Spectre, followed
Very cool.
by The Intern.
That's an odd pairing.
That's an odd pairing.
Have you ever been to a drive-in with an odd pairing?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Tell us, Claire.
Oh, gosh, now I'm going to have to remember it. I saw an Iron Man paired with, I want to say, some kind of camp, like a quirky camp movie. But that
Grown-Ups too.
Something like that.
Oh, God.
Something like that, yeah.
Actually, there might have been a parody film just called Camp Movie.
Hey.
Wow.
Light flash. That was cool.
Which is great for radio.
And I guess that would appeal to, like, you know, the 12-year-old boy group.
Yeah, so we have to, because sometimes we're like, is it the same studio?
Right.
Is there two things? So are we still on the air, Kobe?
Yeah, we're good.
Okay, so we have Spectre and The Intern.
Followed by, at 11:30, now this is only on Saturday night.
Yes, the Shelbyville drive-in likes to pull out something from the archives, some obscure thing that's really kind of cool, and the beauty of going to the drive-in. Yes, sir.
From 1976, the poster says, the ultimate blackmail thriller.
Uh-oh.
The Swiss Conspiracy. We don't know this movie.
Is this Elliot Gould?
No. David Janssen, Cinta Berger, John Ireland.
Wow. What is it? Does it say anything else?
I know
David Janssen from the 70s. Of
former
the
U.S.
Fugitive.
Justice Department official is hired as a security consultant for a Zurich-based Swiss bank when five of its clients are blackmailed.
Oh, bring hard liquor for that one. Mm. That's interesting. That's what they found. Okay.
And then also looking ahead, starting next week at the Historic Art Craft Theater in Franklin, Christmas movies, 27th and 28th, we have Elf, followed by, let me get back to it here. Sorry.
Nice to see it in the theater and not 24 hours on a cable channel.
Right. Yes. December 4th and 5th and 6th, Christmas Story.
Speaking of which.
Don't knock that.
December 11, 12, and 13, White Christmas.
Mm. Mm. Love it.
18, 19, 20, Christmas Vacation.
Ugh.
No Die Hard.
I'm not a Christmas Vacation fan. I think I'm one of the only people in the world who
okay.
I don't like that
That's
movie.
What,
Where's
like
that? Hey, what's
Chevy
that one
Chase
Chevy Chase film where he's insufferable?
Oh,
yeah, most of them.
Oh, yeah. Where he's not insufferable is the Three Amigos. Thank you.
Brilliant film.
I love it.
Very good.
Anyway.
Fletch as well.
Yeah. But
yeah, I don't need eight vacation films. I don't care if Randy Quaid needs the money. Well, he needs a lawyer, but anyway.
Movies like that stress me out, where like one thing goes wrong after another. That just makes, that causes stress for me.
So like going to the, what was it, Love the Coopers? So like the big ensemble Christmas movies, not up your alley?
Never.
Nope.
Or like a Meet the Parents. Ooh.
Oh, that movie stresses me out
they give,
so
it
bad.
Makes you stressful.
So stressful. I know it's, I just, every single time I ever see anything like that, I'm like, it's not going to end up
it
well.
It makes me
like,
so
nothing.
Mad.
I just get so upset for everyone.
I get mad.
And Robert De Niro never really quite understands exactly what is happening in every scene, and it's always misconstrued, and it really upsets
me. It kind of reflects in the DVD, his commentary for Meet the Parents is hilarious. Like, I think he lost a bet and had the show up, and he
movie.
Was just, yeah, because it was Ben Stiller, and I believe it was the director, and occasionally he'd just pop it, yeah. Yeah, that was funny. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
So, okay, Cove. So that's what's happening on the road, road trips we're taking. All right. You know what? Let's take a short break, and then we'll chat more. Well, there's a couple titles on DVD and Blu-ray, and then we'll find out what's going on with Comedy Sports and all sorts of chicanery. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show, here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. We'll be right back.
either one of these any good? Sir?
What?
Are either one of these any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs. You know who I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store!
Blockbuster Video! Wow, what a difference!
Well, in case you didn't see it, here it is again.
Thank you, Tyler.
Thank you.
Yeah, did Tyler play this week?
I'll look that up.
By the way, while you're doing that, welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msoci@WFYI.org. Also on Facebook, also on Twitter at Matthew Soci, hanging out with Kobe Slagle, hanging out with Ashley Claire and Daryl from Comedy Sports. They are going to be on stage not all weekend, because you have to rest and sleep and eat and watch cat videos and all that. But of course, Film Sociology is your home for Tyler Hansborough information, the former off-the-bench player from the Indiana Pacers. And did he play this week?
I don't know if he played this week. So far this season, in this 12-game-old season, he has played 3 games, averaging 4.7 minutes a game, 2 points a game. One offensive rebound.
So Charlotte has not needed him to come off the bench for white hot intensity.
Mm-mm.
That's a shame.
Not really.
Ladies and gentlemen, we were talking earlier about stuff that's on Instagram, social media. Please go to YouTube and look up Tyler Hansborough Reads Chicken Little.
Okay.
You'll be a better person for it. Okay. So
will do.
Okay. New on videos this week is a film that didn't get a whole lot of views when it opened in theaters, and actually the Socies got to see this and actually liked it, and you don't need to know the original TV series from the 60s to appreciate it, but it's The Man from U.N.C.L.E., which has, yes, you have Superman and the Lone Ranger in the same film. Henry Cavill and Armie Hammer play two agents, one's Russian, the other's not, and of course they don't like each other, but they have to work together to get results. Right, and it's kind of...
hard stuff.
It is hard stuff. But it's directed by Guy Ritchie, so it does have not quite the ridiculousness of the action sequences from Sherlock Holmes. It tries, but it does have a 60s Cold War cool soundtrack. Almost, Kobe, almost a retro Oceans feel to it.
Cool.
But they work well together. And also you have Alicia Vikander. Hope I'm saying it right. But this is a woman that has been very impressive in 1 year's time, starring in this film. She was, of course, the creation in Ex Machina. And then a film, Kobe, I know your lovely wife and mother-in-law would like to see, called Testament of Youth, that she starred in. Because it's set in England in World War I.
Nope.
So anyway, it is a cool, laid-back 60s action vibe, so you can go rent that.
I didn't even know Guy Ritchie was still making movies.
Well,
I knew wasn't he kind of in a lull for a bit?
I think Sherlock Holmes kind of pulled him out. Yeah, okay. Yeah, it was called Madonna.
Yeah.
But yeah, kind of Sherlock Holmes kind of pulled him out of that.
Okay,
so
fair.
That's good. Also opening in on DVD is Meru, a really fascinating film about mountain climbers going up one of the top peaks in the Himalayas. And it's directed by, well, one of the climbers who's filming. So you get, you're literally following these guys as they're going up. And this is something that they failed, and they were doing their last chance to climb up this particular section of the Himalayas. So I guess if you suffer from vertigo, probably not up your alley. But it is really stunning. You are their camera work. And that's worth checking out. Jimmy's Hall, which is the Ken Loach film of a gentleman who built a dance hall in the 1930s in Ireland and butting heads with the Catholic Church because they had to have reins over everything. Not a good week for the Catholic Church,
no,
cinema-wise,
no.
Between this and Spotlight. A couple of old titles on DVD. The Criterion Collection has put out the film version of In Cold Blood with young Robert Blake, who, by the way, left his gun in the restaurant.
Yep.
And if you need this on Blu-ray, if you want the clear Blu-ray look and clear audio, you can get on one Blu-ray, Troll, and Troll 2.
Oh, I've been waiting.
Yes.
Stocking stuffer.
Big time. Yes. So, yeah, you got to see that. And you just have to see those to believe them, especially Troll 2.
I can't even believe they made a 2. That one was good enough, and they're like, I need to tell more story.
And it, yeah. And
you know what to say.
And we really need to widen up this
See, that's
plot.
A date movie.
Yes. And as you, I think as you would say, Kobe, still trolling.
Troll 2. Still trolling.
Too fast, too troll.
Too troll.
All right. So, guys, comedy sports, what are you guys up to?
What are we not up to?
No kidding, because I looked, and there's three things that came up. There was UGLI, the 10 at 10, your regular matches, but then again, they are extraordinary matches. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you have Christmas Carol coming up.
Oh, yeah. You want to talk, Ashley?
Yeah, I love to talk.
Say it.
So, yeah, we've got two of our comedy sports players, Mia Roberts and Aaron Carr Adams, have started a few months ago the 10 at 10. So we have that on Thursday nights after our regular 7:30 match, 10 o'clock, $5. It is 10 different local and national stand-up comedians, storytellers, anybody who wants to try their hand at just trying a little bit of stand-up. And it's really kind of a fun, supportive environment of people.
The format's really fun because it's the 10 at 10, so 10 people get a slot, and it goes really, really quickly.
So there's less, you suck, from the audience.
Yes.
Like
yes.
Other venues.
It's a very, and that's what, every time Comedy Sports has done stand-up or anything kind of outside the improv realm, people have found that our venue is so friendly and so supportive. We're
you want a good time.
We do, yeah. And our crowds really root for the people on stage, whether it's improv or stand up or whatever. So it's a great format and a great way to just get some stage time. Daryl has actually performed quite a bit on it.
I do stand up. I've done stand up at the 10 at 10 before, and it's definitely what they've been saying. Like, everyone is super welcoming and
cool.
No one wants to see someone fail, so they're trying to, you know.
No matter how much of a drunken D-bag you can be.
We're trying to train our audiences to be kind.
Yes.
Yes, to be
well,
kind.
Well, I remember sitting in with, now when you've had matches, that depending on the evening, there are certain suggestions. You're like, no, not here.
Oh,
not
yeah.
here. Here's your brown bag.
I had that last week.
Oh, really?
I had a very difficult person in the back who refused to believe that it was a family-friendly show.
Despite the presence of children.
Despite the presence of children
and mothers of children.
Yes. It was slightly awkward. But, you know,
I bet you put him in your place, his place.
They was fine. You know, we did just fine. The more you ignore, the better. You eventually have to say, take it easy, buddy. But, you know, it went fine. It's improv. We make it up, you know?
That's true. Okay, cool.
So that's the 10 at 10, and then our Friday 10 o'clock slot is always a rotating adults-only slot. So for those people who say, I don't want to come see a family-friendly show, they can come to...
And that often is said on Friday nights at the dinner
that's
table.
That's true, yeah.
Kids, you know what? I want something that you can't see.
You stay home and go to bed. Mom and Dad are going out. I'm putting on my drinking pants. And so then they come out to the 10 o'clock show on Friday, and we're opening, after Thanksgiving, our classic Christmas Carol Unscripted. And it's always super popular, so we encourage people to get their tickets soon. Because,
ASAP.
Yes.
It
is a retelling of the classic, with our apologies to Charles Dickens, mm-hmm. because we change up a lot.
He's dead. Don't worry about
it. He's fine.
Yeah.
He's still watching, though.
He's still watching. Yeah.
And
he lives in my heart.
Right in through the window.
We find that our 10 o'clock Friday night crowd, you know, we kind of go where they go, and they go to a very naughty place. And we follow. We just go with
Noddingly.
Them. Yes. No. Yes.
Yep.
Why not? We are improvisers. We say yes, and we say let's do this.
No matter what they say.
We dive right in.
Wow. Yeah. Can you give us an example of how dark it has gone?
Well, not on public radio.
Okay.
Just imagine. Just imagine. Whatever you imagine.
Not even rewording it.
No.
Wow.
Picture something terrible. And that's been said.
That's what we'll do.
Whatever you are thinking in your head is probably something we have gotten.
Yeah.
Great suggestion.
Really?
Let's go with that.
I
promise.
Saying, you've known me how long, Ashley?
Oh, gosh. Too long. Were we teenagers when we met?
You were a teenager, dear.
Yeah.
You were far younger than I am.
He was watching Amadeus.
He was watching Amadeus with his father at the age of 7. Question your parenting.
No, I was seeing Star Wars when I was 7. I'm now aging.
Well,
no,
Jedi.
You were not.
Jedi. I saw Jedi in the theater.
I did, too.
I was very scared of Jabba the Hutt.
Oh, man. Or that sand monster that opened up.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That
Don't call
scary.
In that, Lando Calrissian.
Oh, but he got saved.
He was cool.
That's cool.
So, actually, speaking of Cope, you and your lovely wife completed
yes.
the first trilogy.
We completed the trilogy.
Congratulations.
Is she,
Thank you.
She's wanting to watch more to prepare for December 18th?
No, I kind of steered her away from episodes 1 through 3.
I was going to say, good what move. Trilogy good. Did you watch?
Yeah. The original
the only
trilogy.
4, 5, and 6. The only one?
I'm sorry, we don't call those. We don't even call them 4, 5, and 6.
Yeah.
We just call them
Star Wars. Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi.
Yes.
Okay, so she's
favorite
done?
Favorite in the trilogy was Empire.
It should be.
Right.
Because you have a real screenwriter. Obviously. And Lando Calrissian's hair.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
This is a man who...
I liked his cape.
Pretty cool. But this is a man who outdid Carrie Fisher and Diana Ross for hair in two different movies.
Yeah.
Way to go, Billy Dee.
Get him.
Nicely done.
That's my mom.
I don't know, that's when Leia got to have those braids that were kind of fun.
Yep.
They were prettier.
My mother loves Billy Dee Williams so much. When we went to Disney.
Was that time when your parents found out they had crushes on people other than who they're married
right,
to?
Right.
Like, we went to Disney World and it just happened to be Star Wars weekend that weekend, and she they had a line for people to get autographs when Billy Dee Williams was there, but we were cheap and didn't want to wait in a line for 3 hours, so she just ran up to like the side of the booth and was like, "Hi," and waving, and I was taking a picture from 50 feet away.
Signing souvenir etiquette. Not happening.
Billy
she, that's her link into Star Wars. She'll be like, is Billy Dee Williams in it? No, he's not in this one, Mom. It's just the first one. Oh, wake me up when the next one's on.
Did she watch the Lego movie for the cameo?
She did not. She's actually not that much of a movie goer. Like, she's waiting until it's on TV. Like, till it's on TV.
Or she'll just Google image Billy Dee Williams.
No, she can't even Google. She's like, she's got VHS tapes of like Lady Sings the Blue. Lady Sings the Blues.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Oh, when, I love those. When they get a little rough in parts because you watch them so many times. It gets a little snowy.
See that thing? It's not just for porn anymore.
Nope.
Certain
it's
scenes.
Retro.
When way a thousand years ago, when I was doing film reviews on Fox's morning show, Billy Dee Williams came on to promote. I think it was a Star Wars convention that was here, and it was a day that I was not there, but I did bring a couple of items for him to sign. And apparently, I was the only one in the group that had him sign non-Star Wars stuff. My VHS copies of Mahogany
Ooh.
And the Bingo Traveling Law Stars and Motor Kings. And according to reports, he just chuckled, shook his head, and signed
I was going
to
say, was he delighted?
I don't know. I wasn't there. But at least it was a chain. At the very least, I made him, you know, here's a man who has signed thousands of things. And if I at least made him do a double take, mission accomplished.
He's
right.
Because
his
Mahogany
eyes were no longer
is,
glazed over for
and,
the last
yeah,
four
Mahogany
hours.
Is get drunk and watch fun bad. It really is. My two favorite credits of all time, costumes by Diana Ross and directed by Berry Gordy.
Oh my gosh.
It's just wonderfully awful.
And Billy Dee still tells that story around the dinner table, that time he signed those things for that one guy.
I know. Well, just like Padma talks about the 5 minutes she had with me on radio. Yeah. Absolutely. So, cool. All right.
We had Christmas Carol.
Yeah.
And we have the 10 at 10, and we also have Ugly.
Yes.
U-G-L-I.
You Ain't Got No Alibi.
Which is Underground Live Improv. And it was started by one of our improv performers, Tim Harrison, lovely man. And basically what you do is you just play a whole bunch of improv games that you never played before.
Yes, but
and
it's also for the adult crowd.
And it's for grown-ups.
Definitely.
And that closes tonight. So that's the last Friday 10 o'clock slot for the fall, and then next Friday opens Christmas Carol. So those both fit in the same slot.
Yep. They're
cool.
A Friday late night series.
So where can people go to get ticket information? Or just come to Mass Ave, for crying out loud.
Right?
You can't miss them.
Just come to Mass Ave. A lot of people can walk in. We've been getting real popular lately.
Yeah.
So walking in is kind of a crapshoot for you. So we always suggest call us. 317-951-8499, and we will happily get you tickets with no surcharge with our lovely box office.
So Eddie Vedder will be there.
Eddie Vedder will be there. I love that. He's adorable.
He's working on yet another Cubs song. That's what his off-season's for.
Mm-hmm. Kind of brings the place down a little bit, but we love him.
That was my Eddie Vedder.
That was really good. You're like,
that was good.
That was a fantastic.
Thank you.
That was quite good.
Thank you.
So yeah, or you can go online, cseindianapolis.com.
I hate to put it on the spot, but there is something I'd love to happen someday. Of course, I'm just being very selfish because I'd love to be a part of it, and it might be a good potential fundraiser.
What is it?
Ooh,
I'd love to bring back the Santa monologues.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
We could do that.
So ponder that.
Tell me what that is.
Yeah, what's the Santa monologue?
Santa monologues. Well, okay. Little back history. Ashley and I have known each other for quite a while. She was in the very first play I ever directed, which was done at Comedy Sports.
Sweet. Mm-hmm.
It was a script called
2002.
Yes, it was 2002. It was Yearning for Dogberry, and it went
Shakespeare.
It was a double bill with one of Woody Rao's one acts.
Mm-hmm.
To which his title eludes me, so I'm sorry, but it was an evening called Brush Up Your Shakespeare. But prior to that, there was Santa Is Dead, which Woody wrote, and then the Santa monologue. Santa Is Dead later became a musical. And
Fire
then
at the North Pole.
Yes,
Fire at the North Pole.
That.
And then he did the Santa monologues, which were about a half dozen different monologues about the holiday season. Woody let me contribute one of my own. And it was just a lot of fun. And I would love to have that come back someday. So
the seed is planted.
Put that in the ponder for next year. Not Christian Ponder. Nobody wants that over at Comedy. It's a sports reference, don't worry.
Okay.
I'm like, is that a person?
It's cool.
He was a person.
Christian Ponder?
And a
lovely
and
man.
Apparently
lovely.
A football way of life.
Yes.
But anyway, that brings back fun memories on that. So.
Yeah. We could do that. We'll talk about it.
Cool. Cobe.
Yeah.
We
got this. And now it's time for What is Kobe Watching?
What is Kobe watching?
So you survived the trilogy.
Yep.
And
that was her first time with it.
And she's all right.
Yep.
Okay.
And looking forward to The Force Awakens.
Mm. Okay.
Going back to what we were talking about earlier.
Yes, sir.
Let's watch Jackie Brown. No, I gotta be in the mood for that.
So what are the films that you have watched instead of Jackie Brown because of questionable mood?
I'll tell you what it was this week.
Oh, there's a new one.
Yep.
Oh, can you fill in our guess of what has movie blocked Jackie Brown?
I gotta be in the mood to watch Jackie Brown. But you know what's on TV? The Green Mile. You know what's on TV?
The Miracle Worker.
The Miracle Worker.
So now we just start to make up movies like 3-hour Russian Holocaust documentary.
Mm. Mm.
So
this week,
Ken Burns is a Civil War.
Ken Burns Civil War.
Ooh, that's,
No, I actually like Ken Burns Civil War. But if you've watched, I think he has Ken Burns Baseball.
Yes,
that's sleep inducing.
So is the Civil War one.
Okay, but we have a new one. You have
this
a new
week,
one
this week. Cruising through Netflix. Oh, here's a documentary about four college bros who spend 2 months in Guatemala living on $1 a day or less.
I've seen that
I
video.
Think I've, seen
I've
that.
Seen that.
Yeah.
Was it any good?
It was fine.
But it was not Jackie Brown.
No, it wasn't Jackie Brown. Nothing is Jackie Brown.
No, nothing is Jackie Brown. Nothing at all. So, all right, we'll keep trying on that. I think next week's show, we might have... We might have Fair Sweet Bianca on the program, and we will hopefully have a special guest that will tell you what to do with your Thanksgiving leftovers in specific ways, and we'll catch up on and we'll get to the more grown up movies. Do we have some words to live by?
Silent breed is people.
Zardoz has spoken.
Ashley, Claire, Daryl, thank you for hanging out.
Thank you, Matt.
Thanks for having us.
It's been fun.
Good to have you here. All right, go see a good movie. You deserve it. And get ready for Thanksgiving, because somebody has to. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.
We go home. Good night, Fort Myers. Good night, California.